you would expect, our sermon topic is going to be on giving thanks or Thanksgiving today. And for pastors, it's never a difficulty to think of the theme. Thanksgiving weekend is almost always going to be on giving thanks. The struggle is which passage of text to use, because there are just so many different verses that encourage us, that command us, that point us toward expressing gratitude. Some of those are gratitude to one another, but almost all of them in the Bible are the call to give gratitude to God. And so after some thought and some prayer, I've decided to land on a book in Psalms, the 100th Psalm. And so if you've got your Bibles, let me invite you to open those, or you can use the Pew Bible in front of you. We're going to be looking at Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5, which is really the entirety of the Psalm. And as we look at that, let's see what it is that God would speak to us this day in terms of thanksgiving through the words of the psalmist. We begin there with verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. For at least some of us who are gathered here, as we think about Thanksgiving, it takes us back some years. We have some remembrances of how Thanksgivings were when we grew up. And for those of us that are on sort of the older age of the spectrum, much of that remembrance has to do with the Thanksgiving meal, because it was always quite the feast. We would have a turkey, and we would have mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes. There would be rolls and green bean casserole, there'd be salads and cranberry sauce. Starting to make you hungry, isn't it? There would be all those things, and then we would top it off with pumpkin pie or pecan pie or apple pie. It was a true celebration of food. But that wasn't all that made Thanksgiving special and fun. In generations past, families tended to live closer together than they do today. And so you would get together with aunts and uncles and grandparents and nieces and nephews and cousins. And it would just be fun to celebrate those times with one another. Oftentimes, the day would begin by watching the Macy's Day Parade, or you maybe would watch a football game or two, because that's about all that were on. There were only three channels in those days, so you were pretty limited. You'd go to the afternoon, and maybe you'd play touch football with other family, or maybe you'd get together and play some games. But in the midst of all of that, sort of underlying things, there was this almost this national ethos, this awareness of the need for us to give thanks. Now, even for those who didn't know who they were giving thanks to, there was that sense that we should be a grateful people. We acknowledge that we were blessed to live in the country in which we lived. And so there was just this sort of awareness and understanding that there should be this attitude of gratitude that was present that day. But today, I think things have changed a little bit for us. Now, it's not that much of those things are still present. The food is still there in our midst. There's still a Macy's Day Parade. A lot more football games today that you can watch, because there's a whole lot more channels available to us. We still get together with family, though probably not quite as many as in years past, because families become scattered. But we don't have that sense of appreciation, I think, on a national level that has been there in the past. Too often in people's lives, it almost seems as like we live in a time of expectation of different things. And what I see from my perspective anyway is that Thanksgiving really, instead of becoming a day in which we celebrate that sense of gratitude, whether it be to God or whoever it is that you might think, that Thanksgiving has almost become just for us sort of a speed bump. And you know what a speed bump is. A speed bump is that thing that slows you down. It doesn't cause you to stop, just slows you down. And it seems like Thanksgiving has just become a speed bump in the calendar as we move from Halloween to Christmas, or at least the Christmas buying season. which saddens me a little bit because I don't think, in fact, I know, that that's not what it was intended to be. That's not what it was and its origin for us. And so what's happened is we see that the Thanksgiving festivities remain, but the reason for those festivities have been largely lost. I love the way that it's captured by an author in the name of E.P. Powell, way back in the 1800s, wrote a paragraph that was almost, in this time, prophetic in its truth. He wrote this: "Thanksgiving Day is a jewel to be set in the hearts of honest men, but be careful that you do not take the day and leave out the gratitude." Which, again, at least to me, seems to be the case too often in the world in which we live. Because if we look back to history, we see that the Thanksgiving, at least in our country, is a day that was based on gratitude. In fact, if you didn't know that, it really was a day that was religiously themed from its outset. You know, if you go back to the story of the pilgrims, and even as late as the 1960s or so, typically in a school, especially in the elementary school, the kids would do some kind of play, maybe in an assembly or something, and they would dress up as pilgrims and Native Americans. They'd tell the story of the Mayflower and of Squanto and all of those things that led to the very first Thanksgiving in 1621, where they came together after a previous year of devastation and death. On that particular year, the crops had flourished, and they had been able to enjoy a bounty that they had not known before. And so the kids would know from the earliest of ages what Thanksgiving was truly about. And it wasn't just something that was talked about in schools. I can remember even in the beginning of my time in ministry, if you lived in a small town, often there was a community Thanksgiving service that would take place where different denominations would come together on Wednesday night to offer thanks to God. Now, we're mindful that there were maybe some theological differences that existed there, but even with those, there were two things that we could agree on. One, that we were a blessed people, and two, that God was the source of those blessings. But the reality is that if we look at the story of Thanksgiving, we actually have to go back another 100 years before what we typically think of. It wasn't just with the pilgrims that this story of Thanksgiving started. It's about 100 years prior to that. As much as we think about the pilgrims and all that they did and the food and the celebration and so forth, you have to go back to the time of King Henry VIII. Lots of stories have been done about King Henry. In fact, there's even a popular Broadway play out about him and his wife at the moment. But as you know, the story of King Henry, Henry VIII, had trouble keeping his wives around. And so one of the things that he had disagreement with was with the Catholic Church, which was the dominant religion in that day in Europe. And so he really started his own kind of denomination out of that. And one of the areas of disagreement wasn't just having to do with marriage and divorce and those kinds of things. One of the areas of disagreement had to do with church holidays. Because back in the 1500s, which was when Henry VIII was around, there were actually 97 different church holidays. 97. And if you take those church holidays and put them along with the 52 Sundays of a year, that came out to be about 147 days in which people in the church were called to go to a worship service, a mass in which they would celebrate. And so they would have the day off, or at least part of the day off. Now, for the peasants, they loved that because it got them out of work. But the king, he wasn't so excited. The dukes, the earls, the landowners, they didn't particularly like that because they were losing a lot of labor time. And so there were discussions that went on. They reduced the number of days that were religious days to 25, but there was still a group of people who weren't happy with that. And surprisingly, one of the groups that wasn't happy were the Puritans, those who were that group out of which the Pilgrims came. And it's not that the Puritans didn't want there to be a greater presence of God in the culture of society. Of course they wanted that. But rather, they felt that trying to designate it, to limit it, to pigeonhole it into specific dates was too artificial. They wanted it to be more organic. They wanted it to be a natural outflow of the culture and the day. And so for them, they proposed that days be classified, or at least some days be classified in one of two categories. Days of fasting, in which if there was a crisis or a natural disaster or something that happened, the people would actually do that. They would fast and petition to God, asking that he would intervene and bring about healing to the nation. And some of those days were set. There was a day of fasting that was declared when they had a drought that went through England. There were a couple more days of fasting that occurred in two occasions when the plague was making its way through England and Europe. The other category of days were days of thanksgiving, in which they saw God's hand wonderfully at work in their midst. Maybe it was a particularly good crop. Maybe there had been some kind of military victory. One example of that was a day of thanksgiving when the Spanish fleet was destroyed unexpectedly by a storm that came up. That was good news for the English, the British. Not so good for the Spanish, but good news for the English when that happened. And so there was a day, a celebration of thanksgiving. And it's with that background that when the pilgrims arrived there in Plymouth, that on that first Thanksgiving, it was a part of this days of thanksgiving that they had. I don't know if you knew this, but there were actually 3 days of eating and feasting that those first pilgrims had. So there was this mass celebration that went on as a part of that. And as we think about that tie with our own country, it seems so fitting because that really is the undergirding of what we think about as a nation, as we emerged out of the origins of at least a godly foundation, I think we could agree on. There was this understanding that that God should be a part of the life in which we lived. And so they had the first Thanksgiving. The first 13 colonies tried to figure out how they would share that around. And so the different colonies had different days of Thanksgiving themselves. It really wasn't a unified sense of Thanksgiving until George Washington came along. He declared a day of Thanksgiving in which the entire country on one specific day paused in prayer to give thanks to God. But it was a one-day event. And so it went back to the colonies to figure out what they wanted to do from there forward. I'm sure it's a surprise to all of us that the politicians in those colonies couldn't agree on things. And so because of that, there was no national day of prayer until Abraham Lincoln. And he made a proclamation in 1863 that ended up being the foundation of what we now enjoy as Thanksgiving. That the last Thursday of the month of November would be a day in which we would pause to offer gratitude and appreciation to God. Now, to fully understand that, you need to know that 1863 was right in the middle of the Civil War, probably the worst time our nation has ever known, brother against brother, father against son. It was horrific. And yet in the midst of this, Abraham Lincoln issued this proclamation, and a part of the proclamation were these words: "The year that's drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God." Abraham Lincoln knew who the source of the blessings in our nation are. And that's something that's continued to be present, I would say, until the last few years where things, as I've already talked about, have changed a little bit. But as believers, as Christians, even in 2024, it's that sense of gratitude that should be underlying our hearts, especially at Thanksgiving, but really throughout every day of the year. Because once more, we see God's word overflowing with references to being a people of gratitude and appreciation for God. Now, we could literally take the rest of the service and just read verses that speak about that. But I want to read just a few of those, and I want to have a little fun as we do that. And so we're going to read these out loud, but we're going to do them in halves. So we've got the right side, and we've got the left side. So we're going to bounce back and forth as we read those. And so we begin with that first verse as we think about Thanksgiving truths. God's word comes out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. And so for those of you on the right side, read with me these words. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, left side, I'm sure you can do better than that. So we're going to move to the next verse. It's out of Psalm 1:7. Let's read that together. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Okay, right side, you have a chance to redeem yourself. Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Left side, Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Right side, Ephesians 5, always give thanks to the Lord. Sorry, I messed up. All right, pastor messed up. Sorry about that. We'll start over again. Ephesians 5. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Left side. Psalm 69. I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. Right side. Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And finally, a left side, Colossians 2. Let's do it. In fact, let's just do it together, everybody. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And again, we could do this for the remainder of our time together because there are just so many verses that speak to that. And as we think of this idea, of course, we see that it rests on this idea of first of all, of gratitude and appreciation of that importance of being thankful to God. And as I was thinking about that in preparation for this morning, I got to think that, you know, we really use the word thanks quite a bit in our society. Well, I'm not sure we really understand or reflect on doing that. For example, if someone opens the door for you, you say thanks. If you pick up your coffee from the barista, you say thanks to them. If you sneeze and someone says, God bless you, you say thanks to them. But I'm not sure that really... we really understand what we're saying that. I think there's a measure of appreciation for what they've done, but I don't think we get a lot of conscious thought to it. I think it's almost on a subconscious level. And the reason I say that comes out of an experience I had a couple of years ago. I can still remember it pretty clearly. I was at a garage, a mechanic. I was having some work done on my car, and the gentleman in front of me had just had some work done on his vehicle as well, to the tune of several thousand dollars. Given the bill, he paid with his credit card. They gave him a receipt back, and as he was taking the receipt, you know what he said to the clerk? He said, thanks. Now, was he really grateful for having to spend several thousand dollars on his vehicle? I don't think so. I'm sure he was grateful to get the car back in working order. But it's just sort of an instinctive response to us. It's kind of like saying good morning when we pass people early as we're going to work or see them in the office. Do we really deliberately think in our minds, boy, you know, I hope the boss has good stuff in store for you today. I hope that everything goes well. I hope that your kids are wonderful when you get home. I hope that whatever it might be. No, I think we just say good morning because that's the thing that we do. And I think sometimes when we say thanks, it's of that same mindset. However, there is a phrase that I think we use that, at least, and maybe I'm just speaking to my own life here, I find that when I say that, I tend to be more deliberate, more directed in gratitude. And it's that phrase of, instead of thanks, It's thank you. For some reason, just adding another word to that, thank you, I tend to be more conscientious of expressing my appreciation and my gratitude for what the person has done. Is that true for you as you think about your own life? Is there a difference between thanks and thank you when you encounter people? I think there clearly is in Scripture. As we look to the original text of Scripture, we see, for example, in the Hebrew and in the Greek. In the Hebrew, it's Hadah. In the Greek, it's Eucharisteo. For those of you Catholic background, that's where they get the word Eucharist, saying thanks to God for the sacrifice that he made. And it means to express gratitude, to be grateful for what has happened. And it really is that sense of being heartfelt in our expression of appreciation of who God is and what he has done in our lives and in the lives of those that we care about. I think it's described for us if we look at that fifth verse of Psalm 100, which we read just a few moments ago. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You see, we don't have to wait for God to do something to recognize that we should have an attitude of gratitude toward him. It should just always be there. It says the Lord is good. Right now, in this moment, he's good. Even if there's nothing you can identify that's been a blessing that's happened so far today, you know that the Lord is good. You know that his love endures forever. It was there yesterday. It's there today. It'll be there tomorrow. Even if we don't see it evidenced in some tangible way, we know that to be a truth. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And so because of that, he is entitled to our thankfulness, our gratitude. And yet I'm not sure that we always follow up with that and actually extend that gratitude to God. Because there's a difference between being mindful that we should be thankful and actually giving thanks or expressing it, isn't there? Not sure you've ever had this happen in your life. Sadly, it's happened several times in mine. I'll have a situation where someone will do something kind for me or maybe for our family, and so I'll sit down and I'll write a thank you note out for them, and then I'll get distracted or something will come up, and I'll set the card up on the edge of the table, and I'll forget to stamp it and put the address, and it sits there for a day, and then for a week, and then for a month. And by that point, it's too awkward to send it out, isn't it? And so you end up discarding the card. Now, is it that they're not still entitled and worthy and deserving of your gratitude? Of course they're still deserving of that gratitude, but we don't follow up with it. And sometimes I think that's true when it comes to God. He's always deserving of our gratitude simply because of who he is, but I'm not sure that we always follow up, which is why it's important that we think of the second aspect of that, and that is the giving. We're giving of that gratitude. We're giving as we think about being thankful to him. Again, as we look to the original text of Scripture, we think to the Hebrew, nathan, or we look to the Greek, didomi, and they mean to give, to bestow, to deliver to one another. Not just to have it, but to actually extend it to someone else. And we see that talked about once again in Scripture as we look to 1 Chronicles 16. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures to forever, similar to what we read in Psalms. Or we look at Revelations, the 11th chapter. Here it's talking about just about Jesus' impending return. It hasn't quite happened. And it says, and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was, because you have taken great power and have begun to reign. Folks, if the heavenly beings think there needs to be a reason to give thanks to God, certainly that needs to be true for us as well. And how do we give thanks to God? Well, we do it in a personal way. We do it in a heartfelt way. We do that in kind of a one-on-one manner through prayer. But that's different than I see occurring in our world today, at least as I think about the general category of thanks or giving thankful. You see, I think we've lost that sense of what it means to be expressive in our appreciation to others today. It seems like we've become too technological in that. So let me give you some examples of that. When I see people wanting to thank people for what they have done, and I think of my own daughters in terms of this, I see situations where if they've gotten a great driver with their Uber, what do? Well, they add a little tip in the tip thing. They don't necessarily say anything to the driver. They just add that as a monetary thanks to them. Or if you go to Starbucks, what do? You put a dollar in the tip basket or case or jar. Or if you receive some service, how do you express that gratitude? You give them 5 stars or 4 stars in what you've done. But do we necessarily say thank you to them? Not as much, I think, as we used to. And I think that's also true to God. You see, God doesn't need anything we can give to him. The psalmist tells us he's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need more stuff. He's not impressed with us giving a gift to some worthy nonprofit, as nice as that is. None of those things matter to him. But what does matter, according to Scripture, he wants to hear us convey that. He wants to hear us pray that to him, express that in a personal, in a far more intimate way, which the psalmist captures in Psalm 99:1 with these words, "I will give thanks to you, Lord. With all of my heart, I will tell of all of your wonderful deeds." And isn't that true for us as well? Don't we kind of thrive on having someone personally extend that to us rather than just reading about it? Think for a moment. Suppose you're having a job review at your place of employment, and you're sitting down with the manager, and you go through, and you're item number 18 on the list of 24 qualities that you're being evaluated on. And the number 18 you get exceeds expectations. That's good news. You love to see that down there. You're hoping it will play out and impact your employment when it comes time for a raise. That's good. You like that. But doesn't it mean more if your manager or your supervisor or maybe even the owner of the company comes up and says, "Hey, I just want you to know I really appreciate what you do for our company. We would not be where we're at without you. You know, I don't say it enough, but I see you all the time just hustling around. You are killing it every single day out there. And even though I don't express it, I want you to know, I appreciate you. You mean a lot to our company, and I just hope you'll keep up what you're doing." There's nothing physical, there's no monetary reward that goes with that, but doesn't that make you sort of feel good? You press out your chest a little bit more, you get a big smile on your face. Folks, I think God appreciates those words of giving thanks as well, of expressing gratitude to him along those same lines. As we think about what it means to give thanks to God, the truth is that he wants more from us than at least most of us give. He desires more. He deserves more. In the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter in verses 19 and 20, it's noted in this way: "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so my hope is, as you move into this Thanksgiving time, this holiday that awaits us, that you will be consciously thankful to God, that you'll enjoy the family times, you'll feast on the wonderful meal that's there, you'll laugh and have fun with others that are there, but at some point that you'll pause, maybe even slip off by yourself and just be deliberate. Get personal with God and just offer up a prayer to him. God, thanks. Thanks for who you are and thanks for what you do. And if I can push the envelope just a little bit, and may we do that not just on Thanksgiving. May we do that constantly, daily in our lives as Christ followers as well. Again, there's nothing that we can tangibly give to God in terms of possessions and so forth. But we can offer up this to our Lord. God deserves and desires it. He deserves and desires it today. He deserves and desires it every day. Amen. We're going to wrap up with one final song. We're going to use a thing that we use here at Calvary called I Worship. It's just a kind of a music video. It's a song that you may not know. But if you do, and it's pretty easy to pick up on, so if you need to listen through to it once, but it's a song that's about gratitude and appreciation. And so as soon as you get the feel for the tune, I would invite you to start singing so that it can be a verbal proclamation from us to our Lord and Savior this day. That's Morse code. Are you getting it? That's in. Oh. Is that too annoying? Thank you, Lord. Faithful heart, that song of praise with an outstretched arm, I will praise your name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I think we'll stop with that. I hope that the sentiment of what this was trying to express was carried over. So our God is a good God. He is deserving of our praise. And whether it be words that we offer up in prayer, whether it be through songs that we sing to him, whether it be just in times of quiet reflection, and may we express and convey to God our gratitude, our appreciation for who he is and for what he does. Before we wrap up, just a couple of things. I see the folks on my right, the Charnholms, they're here to pray for you. That's what they're standing there to do. If you've got things that are praises in your life and you want to thank God for that today and want to share it with someone, they would love to hear that. Or maybe this has been a tough week for you. Maybe the person in front of you took the last turkey, and so there is you had to go to a different store, or maybe there's some health issues, or maybe there's some challenges at home. We don't have to face those things alone. God is always there with us, but sometimes it's nice to have a brother or sister standing beside us as well. They would love to have a chance to pray with you if that need exists. We're going to move from here downstairs for those of you that can remain, and I hope that's almost everybody. A delicious meal has been prepared, and so the way that it's going to work is, Calvary folks, we're going to do as we normally do. If you can help out with the cost, that's always appreciated. We don't want that to be a boundary or a limitation for everyone, so as God prompts you on that. But for you Valley Church folks, you're our guest, so don't worry about that. We are just tickled that you can be a part of this with us, and we're happy to have you join with us. I'm going to go ahead and ask the blessing on the food because it gets a little tough to do down there, and then we'll dismiss and just head downstairs to where the food is. If you don't know what's in the gym, if you didn't see that when you came in, head to the gym. And I think, Tanya, do you know, are we supposed to be seated first? I don't know why I think you should know this, but... and if you're looking for something, well, two more things, I guess. We don't have a chance to get together as different congregations, and we don't want anyone to feel awkward. But if you're so inclined, I encourage you to think about considering sitting with a family from the other church, and just so we have a chance to get to know each other a little bit better. And if you're thinking about what to say, maybe think about sharing something good that happened in your life this year. It's about giving thanks to God. I'll give you an example in our family's life. My wife and I are big fans of Andy Griffith. We've always loved the Andy Griffith show. And so we had a chance to go to the city that Mayberry is based off of. There is actually a town not called Mayberry. It's called Mount Airy. But there's all kinds of representations of Andy and Barney and those kinds of things. That was a wonderful treat for us in North Carolina. So if you want to hear more about that, sit at our table. But I'm sure there's good things that have happened at your table as well. So with that, let me invite you to stand, and we'll close in a final word of prayer, and we'll head downstairs for Thanksgiving. God, it's been a good morning. Good because you have been here with us. Good because we've seen some faces that aren't always familiar to us. Good because we're reminded that we're part of something larger, God. The worldwide church of your Son. And so we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be with one another. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to take to heart what we've heard this day and that we would remain grateful, not just today or this coming week, but on a regular basis. You are so deserving of that, and help us not to lose sight of that. And for this day, Lord, as we go down and have a chance to enjoy food together, we pray that it would be a time of laughter, of festivity. Lord, as we think of our pilgrim forefathers, maybe a day of thanksgiving in the spirit in which they experienced it. We pray your blessing on the food. Lord, we're so grateful for those that have labored on our behalf and prepared it. We ask that it would grant to us nourishment. Lord, that it would be something that reminds us of the bounty that we enjoy so that this day and every day we might be able to be better servants of yours. Again, thank you for this time. Watch over us, Lord, until we gather together again, for we pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen.